Before you ask him anything, thank him for everything he done did for you. Thank him until you can't think no more about what else he done done. Like, thank him until you get tongue-tied, like, what else you do for me, God? Just thank you for everything. Just thank him. Start with that. Bring him into your routine. If your routine is to get coffee every morning, invite him into that. Let that be your time while you're reading your word. Have your coffee and have your Bible. Spend time with God. Start just finding ways to bring him in. Your morning commute, you can listen to music, or you could choose to switch it up and listen to the Bible or listen to a sermon. I listen to my sermons off of Pocket Cast. Listen to a sermon on podcast form. Spend time with him. Make him a part of your life. Fast. Pray. Fast the flesh out of you. Be willing to die the flesh for him because he died for you. I'm not saying suicide. I'm saying for you to die to flesh, which means that you are willing to kill everything that's trying to stop you from being obedient to God. It's trying to stop you from having that relationship with God. Burn it up.
Welcome to 1322 Life, where faith meets financial strategies. I'm Bree Smith, CPA, and I believe that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, as stated in Proverbs 13:22. This podcast is your guide to building generational wealth God's way.
Hey y'all, welcome to 1322 Life. I've missed you guys so much, but I'm so excited with what I have to share with you guys today. It was so amazing doing Position to Prosper and being able to go through getting into Position to Prosper myself, as well as taking others through it. And I'm still working on a few different things, but if you miss P2P, it was phenomenal. I mean, God did amazing things in my life personally. I've heard from the young ladies, he have done great things for them. He just really moved. And so if you missed it, it's okay. I know, but we do have the recordings. And if you go to thewealthyparents.com, you can sign up for it and go through it and get the workbooks, all of it for free. So that is my gift to you because I wanted to bless your life and bless your socks off the way it blessed mine. But I have something I want to share with you guys today. And so I said, it's time for a new episode. God has been weighing this on me. So I've been teaching and I've been teaching at my church, but y'all need me too. So I wanted to talk to y'all about how to truly build wealth God's way. And God has been illuminating a couple of things to me. It's crazy, right? So I did an entire Bible study on this and people could not see where it is that God was in it. You know, like, what does this have to do with building wealth? You're just talking about faith, or you're just talking about God or salvation or all these things, right? And I'm like, y'all are missing the point. So I'm going to take y'all today to Deuteronomy 28. We've probably been there before. If you go to P2P, we're going to go over it again, okay? But at the root of being able to build wealth God's way is obedience. Blessings for your obedience. But before we get there, I was having a conversation with my husband, and I said, you know, God illuminated something to me because I have a family member, and I mean, they have been just nasty to me, just nasty. and they only hit me up when they want money or if they want something from me, but never actually really wants a true relationship with me. And so because of that, you can't get my money. You can't get nothing from me but a prayer, because last time I checked, it was, you know, whatever. You weren't worried about me. You were just talking to me crazy outside of your neck because I didn't want to give you what you were asking for. So it's just like, I don't really care to have a relationship with that person anymore because I've gone out of my way to have a relationship with them. And they've just kind of like been like, ugh, whatever, and use me for whatever they could. And now that I'm putting those boundaries up, you know, sometimes it can be a problem. So I was like, you know, the thing is, they come to me because they want money or because they want XYZ. I said, meanwhile, if we had a relationship, I would have given you all those things anyway. I probably would have offered it before you even asked me for it, just because we would have had that relationship, because you are my fill in the blank. I would have went ahead and looked out for you in that way. But meanwhile, you go ahead and you only want to hit me up when you need something or when you really want something. And that don't work for me. So I said, wow. I said, but that made me think about my relationship with God. I feel like the Holy Spirit got me. Like, it wasn't my particular relationship with God, but just our relationship with God. How he's like, I wonder how many people out there feel like I'm not coming through for them or whatever the case may be, but they only talk to me when they want something. They only pray when they want something. And I did do this before. I talk about it when I talk about when I bought my first house. I went through the process. I was 20 at the time, and I was looking to buy a house. It kind of like fell in my lap at first, but I think it was just God's way of bringing me back in, because I had really got into a really dark space. I do not remember September through December of 2015. It's a black space in my brain, right? I have no recollection of it besides what my daddy told me and my best friend told me was going on with me during that time from their talks with me. But it's blacked out. I still don't remember it to this day. My grandmother died and she was my very best friend. Like, that was my dog. That was my homie. That was my bestie. I called her a million times a day. We talk all day, every day. Like, grandma, I saw a spider. Girl, let me tell you what just happened. Oh, good morning, grandma, when I'm waking up. Grandma, before I go to bed. Like, I talk to my grandma all day, like 4 or 5 times plus a day, hours a day. Spent all the time that I could with her. Went to live with her after I had my daughter. Like, that was my rock, okay? So, when I lost her, I lost my faith in God. Tell the truth, shame the devil. I couldn't comprehend in my brain how God can exist and he's able to heal. And my grandmother dies, who was literally like an angel. Like, my grandma was the best in the whole wide world. You may think your grandma the best. I don't care. Like, my grandma was the best, right? Like, I remember when I went with Monica, I grew up and she didn't need like one of her strollers no more. And was like, I was getting rid of a bunch of clothes. And my grandma just kind of saw it like hanging out in the living room or wherever I put it aside to. And she was like, do you use this anymore? I was like, no, grandma, I don't need it. She was like, okay, I was going to ask, do you mind if I give it away? Because this young lady that I had met at the gas station, I gave her a ride home and she had a little baby. I think that she might be able to use this. That was the heart my grandma had. You meet a stranger, you give her a ride home, then you're going to ride back to her house. You don't know this woman. You don't know who she lived with. You don't know what the case is. And like, give her like a stroller and clothes and all those things. Like, she had a heart for people, and God has a heart for people. I'm like, this is your angel here on earth. Like, and that is one of the many stories of my grandmother, right? She was just phenomenal. Like, boy, had a heart after God. And I don't know, she just couldn't do much of any wrong in my eyes. She did a little wrong, but not much. That was my baby. So when I lost her, it was like, something ain't adding up here. And I lost my faith. And so I turned my back on God because I felt like he had turned his back on me. About like that thought process being my process and losing my ladybug. I went through that process and of turning my back on God, but he illuminated, you know, different things to me. The way that he pulled me out was one night in December. You probably heard the story before if you ever heard me talk about buying my first house. One night in December, I was just up late and I was just on the calculators because somebody had said that, hey, you can actually own a house and pay less in mortgage than you do in the rent. I didn't think that was true because I was paying $625 a month in rent. So I was like, you know, way I'm gonna find a house for less than that. And long story short, I did. And through that process of buying my house, going through several different lenders and God making a way, I finally, after going through like 3 different lenders, getting denied or even just kind of getting a verbal like, we probably can't do this, I finally went to church. And I went to church because I wanted my house. And God granted me my house. He aligned everything perfectly so that the next mortgage loan officer put in the work with my boss, everything to make sure I got my house. My pay was changed, everything, so that I could get my house. Like, they worked together. And it was just something. It was legit, you know? Like, he changed the way I was paid from commission to hourly with just, like, commission bonuses on top, however it needed to be. And he actually changed my pay. He said, I am not going to jail for you for no, like, loan fraud. So we're going to do this legit. And it was just, like, so, I was so grateful for that. And, you know, afterwards, I didn't want to go back to church. I went to church that one time and then I was like, I'm back out. You know, like before then I had a great relationship, you know, that I was redeveloping with God. I've known God since I was a little girl. I've been saved since I was like 10. I wanted to get saved in the third grade. I'm the little girl that ran down the aisle at my church, my old church. Shout out to Shiloh. But I've been on fire for Jesus my whole life. My teenage years ain't looked like I was on fire for Jesus. It looked like I was on fire for something else. But, you know, nonetheless, I got back into church and rekindling my relationship with God, especially once I had my daughter. And so when I lost my grandma, though, I was like, I'm good on you, in a nutshell. But getting that house and that just like happening out of nowhere, I think that was God setting that up so that he could bring me back in. And then I tried to go back out again, like, I'm good. And he was like, I'll take everything from you, little girl. And I was like, ooh, I just got in this house. It was like a month later, like he made it clear. So I said, okay. Still didn't really go to church. Still didn't really like talk to him for real, but also watch what I said out my mouth. Like, I wasn't talking too crazy no more because my mouth used to be reckless. So I wasn't talking too crazy no more. And, you know, I did a few months later get back into church after meeting my husband. He was my little boyfriend at the time, but I met him August 21st, 2016. We got in a relationship September 9th, 2016, and we were just locked in. After that, that's my sexy chocolate king. And so I was like, you know what, babe? I can't even play. I know God real. I know Jesus real. I know it. Like, will you go to church with me? And he was like, yeah. And so we started going to church together. And that's how God got me to come back in. And that's also why I bought my house at 21 instead of 20, because I closed 6 days after my 21st birthday, because it got pushed like 3 months. I found my house probably the end of December, first week in January. I ain't closed on it until March 22nd, 2016, March 21st, 22nd, 2016. So that's just a way that God brought me back in. But there's a lot of people that haven't been brought back in yet. And sometimes you just will only pray to God because you need something from him right now. Because you do know that he exists, but you only acknowledge that he exists when you're in need. And when you're no longer in need, then you don't acknowledge him. And that's maybe the reason why you also can't find yourself out of this rut you're in. Because God needs you to stay in a state of needing him so that he can actually have a relationship with you. Because if you don't need him, you will not have a relationship with him. You will not talk to him. When everything's good in your life, you don't want nothing to do with him. See, I used to be the opposite. When everything was bad in my life, I didn't really want nothing to do with him. Because, you know, losing my grandma. But outside of that, I mean, yeah, I came back in because of the house, but usually when things were, you know, going bad or whatever, like that wouldn't be the time that I would ignore God. And when things were going good, wasn't the time I ignored God, but grief hit different. That wasn't, my grandma was my first loss, my first real loss. That was like, you know, I had other people that have died before her, but I didn't know them for real. But that one, that was my baby. And so what is it that's stopping you from having a true relationship with God? Because if you're only wanting to go to him when you want something or when you need something, he may give it to you the first time or maybe even the first few times, but it's gonna get old real quick. God got more patience than I do, always. So, you know, he's not gonna get sick of it as fast as I would, but still he's going to get sick of it at some point in time. He's not gonna keep putting up with it. And so what is it that's stopping you from being able to have that relationship with your Heavenly Father that he's looking to have with you and that he desires to have with you? What is it that's stopping you from really seeing the goodness of God happen in your life in real time? What is stopping you from being in a position to truly prosper? Prosper with money, prosper with your health, prosper in your relationships. What is stopping you from being in position to prosper? What is stopping you from having a true relationship with God? And so at the root of it is obedience. So read Deuteronomy 28. I'm going to read just a couple of verses because I want y'all to read this for yourself, all of it. And you will know why when you get in there. But it says, now, if you faithfully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all his commands I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will put you far above all the nations of the earth. That's Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. If you faithfully obey him, that means consistently showing up. He can depend on you to obey him. God expects you to obey him because you always do. That's being faithful to him, right? And then if you faithfully obey the Lord your God, that's also acknowledging that he's your God. Not just God, but your God, my daddy, you know? And you are follow all his commands that were given. This is Moses talking. So he was like, all the commands I'm giving you today. So this is all the commands, the Ten Commandments, but there were even more commands that were given to them. Then God will put you far above all the nations of the earth. This is how you become the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower, above only and never to be beneath again. You know, this is how that happens, by faithfully obeying God. Through obedience, you're able to then unleash the blessing. However, God doesn't want to be transactional with you, because it's not by your works alone that you're going to get things. It's not by your works alone that you'll be able to make it into heaven. It's not by your works alone that truly anything will happen for you. So when it comes to it, you need to be able to say, okay, God, I'm willing to obey you. I want to have you in my life. I want to have a relationship with you. I don't just want to let this be something that is like here today, gone tomorrow, you know? And so I really just want you guys to look at, how can you make sure that you're faithfully obeying God but not making it a transactional thing? Like, I did this, so can you give me this, God? I did that, can you give me that, God? Right? I had some phenomenal things happen for me, you know, doing Position to Prosper. And what I noticed from that was, in being obedient, I was also making sure I was putting God first, which is Matthew 6 and 33. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and then everything else will be given to you, right? So what I did was I sought God first. I was in my Bible every day. It wasn't at 5 a.m. or whatever the case may be. Still working on getting up early like that. But I was just in my word every day, because I was teaching the word every single day. So I had to be in the word by default. And because of that, God did miracle signs and wonders in my life. Okay? He gave me my biggest week to date. He gave me my biggest day to date financially in my business. He let us hit our goal and have our largest month. He moved. And I didn't expect that. I really did not. And I was thinking, oh, okay, it's going to be because all these people are going to sign up for the Making of a Monarch. Did not happen. Nobody signed up for the Making of a Monarch. I don't know why y'all don't want that goodness, but hey, it is what it is. But it was just through more accounting and tax clients that were coming through. And thank you guys for being so faithful to me. I love my clients. Y'all are like family to me, and y'all really care, and y'all show up. And I guess that's because y'all know I really care and I show up for y'all. So I love that the feeling is mutual. But God showed up in an amazing way with the clients that he sent and with what he allowed us to be able to do. And so because of that, that then unleashed something in me, that unlocked something to let me see that this is how it is to truly build wealth God's way. Because I'm not going to lie to y'all, I was like, God, I know how to build wealth the world's way. I had a trajectory and I was doing good, okay? Hey, I hit a lot of milestones early on in life, being able to buy my first house at 21, sell it for a six-figure profit, buy another big old house in a nice neighborhood where they over here jogging and running after midnight, and even with their kids roller skating at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, because it's just that safe, you know. Being able to be in a 9 out of 10 school zones for elementary, middle, high, like being able to have all of these like great things happen. And that's not to go ahead and brag, but that's just to say that I was very successful with what I was doing in my 20s. Hello? I just turned 30, y'all. Like, in my 20s,
What 20-year-old you know got 100K plus in the bank? What 20-year-old you know like over here paying off debt and paid off more than half student loans before graduating? And this was getting it out the mud. I had a single mom. My mama couldn't help me with those things. Like, I didn't have it that way. Like, my daddy was locked up in and out of prison my whole life. In and out of prison or jail, God rest his soul. Like, you know, so it's just like, I didn't have nothing given to me. I had to take whatever I wanted in this world. I had to work hard for it. You know, and I didn't steal, but I took life by the handles. Like, I was like, yo, I'm not going to be a victim. I'm going to be a victor. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make it work. So I knew how to work things the world's way. I knew how to get money the world's way. I knew how to go to school, get A's, get on a roll, dean's list, all the things, straight A's, whatever. And then those grades were supposed to help me get whatever pay, go get a good job, work my way up the ladder. I was up for a promotion when I left my job. I didn't leave my job because I was about to lose it. I left my job while I was in the midst of getting a promotion because God told me it's time to leave, baby girl. Like, I know how to do this. I know how to go up a corporate ladder. I'll be someone's manager right now. I'll be on my way to partnership. If not, you know, knocking on that door already, like, that's the trajectory I was on. I'm an overachiever. I get whatever it is that I set my mind to, I would knock it out. And then he put me on this path where I would have to lean on him. See, because I know how to play by those rules. I know how to take great tests. I know how to show up. I know how to do things with a spirit of excellence. I know how to make sure that my work is top tier. I know how to do that. But baby, in these entrepreneur streets, you are every department. So I don't just get to be the accountant. I don't just get to be the CPA. I have to be a great marketer. I have to be a good saleswoman. And y'all know me. Y'all know I ain't really the best at that stuff. Like, that's been my Achilles heel. I just like to serve people and call it a day. That's it. Like, it took forever for me to be getting on these cameras and doing these videos. I still struggle with doing the videos and the podcast at times because I just want to do the work and call it a day. I just want to meet with people, talk to people, strategize with folks, and get the work done. That's it. That's easy for me. But the hard part is doing the things that don't come naturally to me or that aren't as easy for me. And God put me in a position where I had to lean on him for that. And I had to figure out how to build wealth his way. Because it's like, God, how am I going to get clients? And then my biggest week that came in had nothing to do with none of the stuff we were doing. It wasn't because of my marketing team. It wasn't because of the stuff, the programs I pay to be inside of. Nothing. Just God. Straight up God. Anybody that tell you that they contributed to my success is a liar. It was God. God is the only one that contributed to my success. And every single client has definitely contributed to my success. And every single referral they've made has contributed to my success. But it's really like God and a ton of people helping me. But it's not one individual that did anything for me more than God has. Not one. And I'm like, God, it's not making sense. I would think that it will come from these set of leads that I buy. Or I think it'll come from this other program I do. Or I think it'll come from this coaching program. Or I think it'll come from this. Nope, none of those things made a difference at all. But what did? Being in my Bible every day, praying every day, praying for his people and with his people, doing what he told me to do, and not even doing it 100%. Still won't taking care of my health like I needed to, going to the gym and stuff. Like, only did that like once or twice a week. Still have other areas that I definitely fell short. But I did this every day. And God opened doors and poured out a blessing that was too big for me to receive. So I hope you don't miss this like one person did during Bible study. Because majority of people, they got it. They was like, you did great, Bree. But there was one person that did not get it. And it was like, how could this help me with my money? But I'm telling you, this is something that's more important than money. But if you truly seek first God, he's going to give you everything else. He's going to heal that marriage. He's going to heal that relationship with your family. He's going to give you the promotion at the job. He'll give you a promotion or a new title at another job. He'll go ahead and give you your own business. And he will accelerate you in ways that man can't. He will do miracle signs and wonders for you. You'll start seeing your bank account overflow. You'll start seeing your health do better. You'll see so many things improve if you seek him first. How do I do that, Bree? Just read. My husband, he reads through the Bible app every day. And he's very faithful with that. I don't necessarily do that app every day. And I didn't when I was in my word. Because it's just like, it just gives you like a verse or two that don't really do nothing for me. But it might do something for you. But I listen to the Bible. I have an audio book and it's about all the different actors and actresses. They're reading the Bible verbatim. But they just have a little tone and stuff to it. And it sounds interesting. You hear birds chirping in the background and people screaming or whatever when there's war. People like, rawr, like they, like it be lit. Especially it's like I'm listening to a movie unfold. Like, especially like when they fighting and all these things. It's like you can now start imagining it and visualizing it. I'm someone that, like, I love movies and like my mind, when people tell a story, I'm visualizing it and things like that. So I love listening to that Bible that way. And they're just reading the NIV version, I believe. So that's the app that I love to use. So that is something y'all can do. And I'm going to show y'all what it looks like in Audible, which is my preferred audiobook, but you can use a different one and see, it pulls right up. So this is where I go, and a church member recommended it to me, so I'm recommending it to y'all. It's amazing. It does phenomenal with helping you to just like get more interested in the Bible, because sometimes the devil wants to put you to sleep as soon as you crack open your word. Okay, as soon as you be like, duh. Like, you know, like, and it has been me. I have had the Bible next to me in the bed and like been about to drool, like, you know, got some good deep sleep that day. It ain't made no sense. So starting your day with it works best, so that you're alert. During my morning drive, if I have to drop off the kiddos, I'll listen to sermons or listen to the Bible or both. And that helps me to connect with God. This week, I haven't been listening to my Bible that much. I listened to it a few times this week. That's why it's the first thing that popped up on my Audible. But I've been listening to sermons every day. And sometimes, I think mostly multiple times a day, I've been listening to sermons. And it's not because anything bad is happening. I just want that connection with God and want to show him that he's a priority in my life. And you shouldn't just be doing it because something bad is happening. Like, these are just practical tips that you can use, because I don't want y'all to be like, all right, seek first. What is? No, it's easy. Just do it. It's simple and it is easy. The same way you can call up your girlfriend, you could just say a prayer. I've been getting up. I've been actually on a prayer line. I think I was at 4 days this week, 4 out of 5, which is good. Today I slept in. And today my husband prayed and I missed it because I slept in. I was tired. But I've been on a prayer line. Also, we have a prayer line at our church. So if you have a prayer line at your church, if you want to join our church, let me know in the comments. I will give you the information. We're at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are on the prayer line and I pray every other week on Thursdays. So you ever want to come in? You want to get filled with the Holy Spirit and have someone pray on your behalf? We got you, right? It just looks like having a conversation with them. Because when you think about building relationships, even if you're someone that's like, oh, I'm an introvert, I don't know how to make relationships. And that was me. Like, all of my friends, they sought me out. Like, I wasn't a people person. I wasn't, like, I'm not very outgoing, so to speak. And people have told me that I'm a liar lately. I don't care what y'all think. I know me. I know I'm not that. Like, I get nervous about how to go about starting those conversations and stuff. I'm like, I don't want to bother nobody. That's why it's a struggle for me to, like, knocking on doors, not doing it. Never say never. I've done it before. If God forces me to, I will do it again. But you hear me saying force, right? So But with my grandmother, what did that relationship look like? Well, it started with her, because she started that relationship with me as a little girl by making sure she spent time with me. She made sure that while my daddy was supposed to have me, she had me. And we spent time together, and we danced and we played and we enjoyed stuff and we worked out and we slipped and slide, and she roller skated through the house with my uncle while I just slipped on some socks because I was not getting no roller skates. You know, but like, we had fun together. We did stuff together. We talked all the time. We would have our little routines, and we'll go every Friday when she'll pick me up. We'll go to Sonic and get a banana split and a banana split junior. And we would do those things. Or go to Krispy Kreme. Like, those are the things we did, right? So invite God into your everyday routine. Talk to him as if he's present, and you'll see him start answering you. Like, you know, we ain't got time to be embarrassed about our faith. It's okay to look crazy for God. Talk to him. Start your day with worship music and just praise him. Smile and dance while you singing to him. Tell him how great he is. Yes, he is. Affirm God at the beginning of your day. Dwell on the things that he has done for you lately and tell him thank you. Tell him thank you for waking you up this morning. Tell him thank you for putting breath in your body. Tell him thank you that you're mobile, you can move. Tell him thank you that your shoulders still move. You know, like, tell him thank you for the little things and the big things. Tell him thank you. Start with gratitude. Before you ask him anything, thank him for everything he done did for you. Thank him until you can't think no more about what else he done. Like, thank him until you get tongue-tied. Like, what else you do for me, God? Just thank you for everything. Just thank him. Start with that. Bring him into your routine. If your routine is to get coffee every morning, invite him into that. Let that be your time while you're reading your word. Have your coffee and have your Bible. Spend time with God. Start just finding ways to bring him in. Your morning commute, you can listen to music, or you could choose to switch it up and listen to the Bible or listen to a sermon. I listen to my sermons off of Pocket Cast. Listen to a sermon on podcast form. Spend time with him. Make him a part of your life. Fast. Pray. Fast the flesh out of you. Be willing to die to flesh for him, because he died for you. I'm not saying suicide. I'm saying for you to die to flesh, which means that you are willing to kill everything that's trying to stop you from being obedient to God. It's trying to stop you from having that relationship with God. Burn it up. Spend time with him. Invite him in. He wants a relationship with you so bad. He wants a relationship with you so bad. And these are things there's other ways I can improve too. I'm not on no pedestal talking to you. I'm talking to you from real life. What I see works. Because y'all coming to me because y'all want financial advice and wisdom. But what you really need is to first be seeking God first. Because if you make him a priority, he'll show you the steps you need to take in your finances. Now, I got strategy for you, baby. But sometimes you need help to even make sure that you have enough money flowing in so that you can utilize those strategies. I have strategies, but a lot of it is for high net worth individuals. And it can be for middle income too. But you got to have something to shake something. And too many times I see people that are struggling, and I can't even go ahead and help them as much as I would like to, because they are not at their peak. They're not at their fullest potential. They're not operating at their highest level. And that's because you can't have a relationship with God the way that it needs to be yet. See, there's a lot of people that's upset with folks that are rich and always want to call them devil worshipers or whatever. But however, obedience to God is supposed to bring you wealth. So your pastor should be in a big old house. Your pastor or preacher should be driving the best car. Because if you not, like, who you serving? Like, you shouldn't be broke the whole time. You shouldn't be serving God for 30, 40, 50 years and driving in a 1980 something because you can't afford nothing better, or driving in something broke down because you can't afford nothing better. Now, there's some people that choose to be frugal. And they love their 1990 something, and like, Bree, shut up. It worked. It's older than you and it works, and I love it. It's my antique, it's my classic, it's my whatever. That's one thing if it's a choice. But if you know your pastor is struggling to pay their bills the same way you're struggling to pay yours, something's not in alignment if they've been doing this for decades. It's not in alignment. It's not in alignment with his word. He said your obedience brings blessings, and not just financial blessings. A ton of blessings in all the areas of your life, your health, all of these things. But if you, so we should not expect, that's not to say that trials and tribulations won't come our way. That's not my point. But we should expect for those that serve God and are obedient to him to be blessed. My pastor is blessed. Her house is beautiful. She ain't got no mansion or nothing, but she has a beautiful, blessed home. Got a pool in the backyard and everything. God has blessed her. She got a new car and everything, but she is driving her other car until she couldn't no more. I mean, I think she gave it away. Like, God has blessed her. He has blessed her. And I know she lives a holy life. She ain't perfect, but she lives a holy life. That woman is amazing. It's beautiful watching her journey with God, her obedience and her commitment to God, to see her go through grief and not miss a Sunday to preach. She lost her daddy and still showed up every Sunday to preach. She is constantly pouring into everybody. Is there just a phone call away for all of us leaders. So yeah, she's blessed and she should be. And God ain't even got truly started yet with how he plans to bless her. That's my prayer. I want him to bless her socks off. I don't want her to leave this earth wanting a thing. You know, I want her to experience everything that God has for her. And that's what you should want. Your heart posture should not be one that is jealous. Thou shalt not covet. You shouldn't be coveting what your pastor has or what your neighbor has or anyone has. Because if they have it, then you should be like, ooh, God in the blessing business and he about to bless me. Because I see he done blessed them. He done blessed them. Oh, God's in the neighborhood. I'm next. And if you're not next, you still keep applauding whoever is got next until it's your turn. But that jealousy stuff got to go. We should expect God's people to be blessed. We should expect to be blessed because of God. Hebrews 11:6. That was the prayer I said over my life before I went ahead and saw God do my biggest week. And it states that those who love God, hold on, and believe, let me see. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. That's the part I was trying to get to. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. However, also it states that since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So if you believe God rewards those who seek him. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So that means you got to have faith. And at the root of that faith is hope. And so you got to keep your hope and dreaming for something more and greater. You got to have your faith there to believe that God will do it and that he will be the source to everything that you're looking for. He will be the answer and solution to everything that you're looking for. And you have to believe that he rewards those that seek him. So, you know, if you're seeking him, you're in this word. You're looking for answers. You're talking to God. You're praying to him. You're seeking him. You have faith. You're praising him. You're worshiping him. You're fasting. Then you should expect a breakthrough. That's what the word says. And if you believe that he rewards those who seek him, then you will be able to see him reward you for seeking him. It's simple and easy. So I wanted to give y'all that. The key to building wealth God's way is obedience and having a true relationship with God that's genuine. Not just going to him when you need something, like that family member I told y'all about, right? But going to him just because you love him and you want to spend time with him and you can't go a day without him. Some of y'all can't go a day without seeing your kids, kissing on their face and hugging and loving on them. Some of you can't go a day without seeing your spouse and kissing them and hugging and loving on them. I used to tell my husband all the time, I want you in my face and space. Did not want to be away from him, especially during those like first couple of years. Now. But, you know, like, I love that man. But still, it's just like, we can do that with other people. Why can't we do that with God? And be like, God, I just need to be in your presence right now. I just need to bask in your glory. I just need to talk to you. I just want to see how you doing, God. Like, y'all ever ask God how he doing? I don't know. I haven't either. I'm going to try it. I'm going to see what he say. But just like talking to him, building a relationship with him. He wants one with you so bad. He wants you real bad. Mm-hmm. Like, God wants a relationship with us. So spend some time with your Heavenly Father. Make time for him. And then tell me what happens, okay? Tell me what happens. Can y'all commit to 1 week of just being in your word every single day and talking to God, inviting him into your routine in some way, shape, or form? Take pictures, post it, all of that, and tell me how it looks. Tell me what happens. I'm expecting to hear some great success stories. I'm expecting to hear about some blessings. I'm expecting for God to come through. Just do it for a week. That's how long we did P2P. Go ahead and sign up for P2P for free. I ain't getting nothing but your email, okay? Like, sign up for Position to Prosper for free. Do that every single day. That could be your time in your Bible because we was in the Word. That could be your time praying. Just start with that. But I would want you to do something more outside of that. But start there and invite him into your routine. Do it for 7 days and then tell me what happened. I'm expecting a breakthrough. I'm expecting God to reward you. I'm expecting God to give you some kind of, that's my girl, that's my guy right there, like, for just showing up. I'm expecting a move from God in your life. I'm expecting it, and I need you to have an expectation. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now. I ask that anybody that is under the sound of my voice watching this, Heavenly Father, that you would just bless them, that you would just come into their life and do a magnificent work, Father God. I pray that when they step out on faith and choose to spend every day with you for the next 7 days, that they will then start seeing how you are moving in their life, Heavenly Father. They will see that you will give them an answer to one of these problems that has just been like a thorn in their side, Heavenly Father, that you will show up like only you can. And you will be the hero in their plot. Oh, Father God, you will show up in their story and you will give it a happy ending. You will show up and show them that, hey, I am God and I hear you. I'm listening. And this is all I ever wanted from you. I just wanted to have a relationship with you. I just wanted you to invite me in. I just wanted to spend some time with you. I just wanted to know that you love me and that you're willing to devote undivided time just for me. That's all he's asking. So God, I ask for you to move in their lives when they choose to spend that undivided time with you. I ask for you to show up and show out like only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I hope y'all have the most amazing week. And tell me y'all crazy God story. Tell me what God does in your life in this next 7 days. For some of you, it may not even take 7 days. Before he show up. But even if he bless you early, I still need you to keep going. Because that's only the beginning. Give him 7. Give him at least 7. All right. Love y'all. Bye.